Look, we've said on this podcast for a long time, we need less pastors and more disciples. Now, that may be a little tongue-in-cheek, but it holds true to how important discipleship is. Striving for Eternity is a discipleship ministry that will come to you. They specialize in visiting churches all across the globe. They offer weekend seminars that cover topics like evangelism, apologetics, cessationism, and much, much more. They are also very purposeful about helping churches of all sizes take advantage of these seminars. So no matter what size your church is, Striving for Eternity is a great choice for your congregation. Striving for Eternity also offers a free online academy properly called the Striving for Eternity Academy. This academy has courses that will teach you how to properly interpret the Bible, teach you about world religions, help you walk through systematic theologies, and as well as courses on discipleship. And you can always support the ministry by purchasing the syllabus online. Striving for Eternity Ministries also supports believers through quality content like Andrew Rappaport's Rap Report podcast and Apologetics Live, an apologetics podcast that live streams on multiple social media platforms every single week. Striving for Eternity also supports and disciples podcasters through the Christian podcast community. So if you're a church leader, pastor, elder, podcaster, or just someone who wants to know God rightly, go to www.strivingforeternity.org or click the link in the description of this episode below. Well, it's that time of year again. Projects are in full swing, and you know what that means. You got to make that trip up to Jacob's Supply. Whether you're a contractor or builder, or you're checking those things off the to-do list around the house, now is the time to visit Jacob's Supply. Guys, listen to some of the crazy good deals they have going on right now. PVC decking for $2.99 a linear foot in 10 different colors. Composite decking for $2.35 a linear foot in 2 colors. Treated decking for $0.65 a linear foot. Duralife composite rail kits available in select colors starting at $64.99. And don't forget the vinyl rail kits also available in stock. Need the fasteners? They have those too. Hidden or visible, clips or screws. Jacob Supply is located in Temperance, Michigan, but ships many products nationally too. So whether you're in-state or out-of-state, they're just a click or call away. Check them out at www.jacobsupply.com or call them at 734-224-0978. That's 734-224-0978 or click the link in the description of this episode. Jacob Supply, your one-stop shop for products you need at prices you love. Exploring theology, doctrine, and all of the fascinating subjects in between, broadcasting from an undisclosed location, Dead Men Walking starts now. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Dead Men Walking Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Moore. You can find us at dmwpodcast.com. Check us out there. We got some snarky merch. Helps support the show, gets us to conferences, brings you content. I think I'm wearing one right now. All huss, no fuss. And yes, we know we had to use the English pronunciation of his name. It rhymed with fuss. Okay, it's not hoos. But that's my discretion. That's what I get to do since it's my website. But check it out there. Wine 'em, dine 'em, Romans 9 'em. We've got that t-shirt. We got the, how about you shut up and just let that be your wisdom. Job 13:5. Sometimes you just got to quote scripture to the pagans, you know. But up top, we want to talk about the sponsors of the show. They do help us get to conferences. They do help us travel, do all those things to bring you guys content. Jacob Supply, it's that time of year. Projects are in full swing, and you know what that means. You got to make the trip to Jacob Supply. Guys, this is a brother in the Lord. I go to church with him. He started this building supply business where you get 30, 40, 50% off of name brand appliances, wood, lumber, decking, metal roofing. Heck, they do barn dominiums, and it's all 30, 40, 50% off. Some of the stuff so inexpensive, we can't even say the price on the podcast. His competitor called and said, hey, we heard that podcast. Quit telling him how much Cortec flooring is. We can't even get it that cheap. So I want you to go to him. He's in Temperance, Michigan. He ships nationally, though. So if you're outside of Temperance, that's cool, too. You can call him. He'll ship it. JacobSupply.com or call him at 734-224-0978. He's a brother in the Lord. And then one quick thing with Striving for Eternity. Guys, you're always looking for new podcasts, looking for new places. Andrew Rappaport has a website called Striving for Eternity. It's a ministry. He disciples. We've said for a long time on this podcast, hey, we need less pastors, more disciples. And I know that's a little tongue-in-cheek, but you get what I'm saying. It's very important to disciple, and this is a discipleship ministry. Strivingforeternity.org. Go check him out there. He's a sponsor of the show. Love that brother, and he's got a conference coming up that you probably heard in the pre-roll as well. Get tickets to that. All right, cool. Now that we got the business out of the way, have this gentleman, if you're watching, sitting to my right, to your left. How you doing, brother? Why don't you give us a little bit of an intro?
Yeah, great.
Who are you? What are you about, man?
So many things. So my name's Stephen, and I, like you, Stephen Whitlow, I am right here in Northwest Ohio, which I guess you're technically in Southeast Michigan, but we're neighbors.
We're close.
Yeah, we are, which is awesome because we just learned about each other, which is fantastic.
Isn't that so crazy?
And I've been basically Toledo native my whole life. And so been here and doing ministry for almost 20 years now. So I started as a young pup and have been doing that for a while. Married now. I got four delightful kids. Just had my my most recent one about 5 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So right in the
So you're the pastor of Redemption Church right now,
yes.
Correct?
Yeah.
CEO of Clear Truth Media, which we're going to be talking about a little bit today.
Correct.
Got a lot of stuff going on. It's always crazy, too. I was telling you this before we started recording. I've been in Monroe County pretty much my whole life, a couple months here and there, lived abroad. But how do I not know this guy? We have the same friends. I mean, you're preaching the stuff that I'm going, yes, we need to hear that from the pulpit. I'm going, he's 15 miles away from me. This guy should have been in here years ago. So happy to have you in, man.
Well, I know it is. It's amazing. And like we were talking about before the show, there's a lot going on in this part of the country right now.
Yeah.
And it's really fun to start getting connected.
Yeah. How about even like in the Ohio area, you've got like Foster doing his thing down there, blowing up. You guys are doing crazy stuff with Clear Truth Media. There's some guys up in Northern Michigan that are, kind of bringing attention to the culture. I think it's really, Reformation, revival. It's those type of things that have been being preached the last 4 or 5 years. We're starting to see, and even before that, starting to really come to fruition.
Yep.
In seeing these things. But let's talk about Clear Truth Media, because that's what turned me on to you. Because last week in my Instagram, my Twitter X, on my Facebook, I couldn't get away from it. Everyone was tweeting and going, hey, this thing just launched. And I went, how have I not? Now, look, I'm a real estate broker. I got a family, right? County commission. I got a bunch of stuff going on, too. So it's hard to keep my, finger on the pulse of everything that's going on. And I went, how have I not heard about this? You just launched this. Can you tell me a little bit about Clear Truth Media?
Yeah, I can. So it's about a 2-year history with it. So about 2 years ago in October of 22, we ran a series at the church called Clear Truth for a Confused World. And it was at that point right then where we just knew our church needs some answers on some really important stuff.
Yeah.
So we ran a series, Men, Women, Marriage, Family, and Society. And I just preached through, this is what the word says. This is what the world says. Sent out a mailer. Our church grew by 50% in 5 weeks.
Wow.
I've been doing ministry for 20 years. I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah.
And so I was like, wow, we're kind of tapping into something. So Clear Truth for a Confused World series then turned into a conference that we did. And we did that last March. It's then turning into kind of a conference tour. And as it kept building, we thought, well, something's happening here. And about a year ago, I sat down with Joel Berry, who's the managing editor of the Babylon Bee, another Toledo guy.
Toledo, yep.
Yep. And so Joel and I have known each other for 15 years, got disconnected. Our kids go to the same school. We sat down and I was like, dude, what have you been up to? He's like, well, I work for the Babylon Bee. I was like, that's kind of like you and I. I was like, I had no idea you
really
were doing that. I had no clue that's what he was doing. So we sit down, we talk. He's like, how's your church? What's been happening since COVID? I kind of told him what was going on. He said, dude, I thought you were just one of those weak, woke mega church guys. I said, no, not exactly. And so we started walking through this kind of the last 4 years, since COVID. And I said, dude, do you realize that the Babylon Bee has become like the hub of American evangelicalism?
Yeah.
Like everything else has imploded over the last couple of years. There's nowhere where I know the guys that I've been, in contact with that a central landing spot for everybody. And I was kind of joking, but really,
Babylon, no, you're kind of right though. You have some bigger ones, but they're kind of sectioned off denominationally.
Yeah.
I think of like Founders Ministries or
sure.
something, or even the network I'm on, Fight Laugh Feast. It seems to be a little more Presbyterian and, Calvinistic. It's really crazy. Gospel Coalition, that's out. Christianity Today, the numbers are falling. No one even really trusts it. So there's like this weird place for it.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's what we saw. There's this massive hole. See, I come out of the mega church.
Okay.
So, there's a mega church in our area. And I think when I left, we were like 10,000 people, 6 campuses, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I was, preaching and leading across multiple campuses and kind of grew up in that. So, when I was growing up in ministry, it was Andy Stanley, Bill Hybels, Rick Warren, Craig Rochelle, those kind of guys. And I kind of learned from them how to do ministry. And then I left the mega church in 2013. But most of the connections, conferences, platforms that I would have looked to back then, I don't trust any of them.
Right.
And so now when I'm talking to people that are on a similar journey that I was on, where do I go now? What do I look for? They didn't have any answers. And so we said, well, we need to create something. So Joel and I started chatting about creating that. And it took us about a year. At some point in time, we got connected with Megan Basham from The Daily Wire.
Sure.
And then that connected us with Foster and Chase. And then eventually we got connected with this, guy from Northern Ireland, Jamie Bambrick, who made some crazy He Saves Us video following the Super Bowl. And that's how God brought together the launch team.
Wow. Yeah, I'm looking at the contributors on the website. It's cleartruthmedia.com for any listeners that want to go there, and we'll link this all up so you guys can just click below. Joel Berry, of course, Tom Askell, been on the podcast, Megan Basham on the podcast, Joe Boot. I'm just going to say who's been on the podcast because I couldn't believe it. I'm like, right, we're running the same. Joe Boot, oh my God. Joe Boot, 3.5 years ago in South Dakota, gave such a stunning exhortation of Acts when Peter says there's no other name which you shall be saved. It was just, I don't know, it's probably one of my favorite episodes. It was a remote episode. Lewis Brackpool, I'm not familiar with him. Why does that sound familiar? He's a journalist, social commentator.
He was just all over for recording things that are going on right now.
Okay, that's what it is. Yeah, I mean, Chase Davis, Josh Dawes, all these guys, man. You got some Jared Fleming, Keith Foskey, Michael Foster, Seth Gruber. I'm just reading them off just so people kind of know. Josh Howard. It's Rod Martin was just on 2 weeks ago. Great guy. This is pretty impressive. John Root, sports guy. He's been on. He's a good guy. Samuel Say, So Will Spencer, Renaissance Men. Steve Yu, C.R. Wiley. Oh, I love theology podcasts and those guys, what they do with history and stuff.
It's an incredible list that God has brought together.
How do you do that, though? I mean, that's insane. Those guys are all busy. They have things. They're doing stuff. Do you just call them up and go, hey, I'm starting this thing. You want to be part of it? And
they were
of them were a little harder.
So here's what happened. You know, the practical story of it is that Joel and I started talking. Okay. Joel, obviously, with his platform, you know, he can get people to talk to him.
Sure.
And, you know, answer the phone, that kind of stuff. So Joel and I were praying through this. And there were multiple times throughout this where I was ready to throw it in.
Yeah.
And just say, you know, we're not going to do this. It isn't going to work. People aren't receptive to it. But we kind of kept pushing it in. And then when we did the conference in March, it was really kind of confirmation. Like, okay, we're headed in the right direction here. Foster said no to me about 6 times. And then I called him once. I said, hey, I'm going to circumnavigate your no. And so here's my side request. And then he called me about 48 hours later. And he said, you know what? I think God's really in this thing. He said, I'm not a charismatic, but I think God is really in this thing. And I got to say yes. And it was kind of that story over and over. Yeah. And we just kept communicating with people and laying out a really simple vision. Guys, you know, we're going to disagree on some things. We understand that. But if there's ever been a time in my life for us to work together across some boundary lines, you know, typically from a denominational perspective, but not from an Orthodox evangelical Protestant perspective. And so we said, we're going to make a firm box in what we believe and what we can unify in. And if we can all agree in that, I think it can be a beautiful thing. We can model a little bit to Christendom. Hey, this is how we can work together.
Yeah.
We can also model that to the world. And I think we can create something really cool. And so people just started saying yes.
You know, the funny thing is, though, even like you said with Foster saying that, we have too much of an echo chamber. You almost have too much of, you go to a Christian website and they have a very thin view of all their reporting and all their articles and all their resources line up with that very, this is what we kind of, where we want you to go, right? I was looking over some of the articles on Clear Truth Media and it's kind of all over the place. You've got contributors, eschatology, for instance. You've got contributors that are pre-mill, post-mill, amill. And then, you know, it was a title of how post-mill ruined something. And then right below it, it's like post-mill is going to bring back the nation.
Yep.
You know, you're like, okay, I kind of want that as a viewer or a listener or even a reader. I don't want to be force-fed the narrative of whatever thin, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Whatever it is that you're trying to give me, I want to go to a place that goes, okay, I know I can have, and I think this is what Clear Truth is. I know that all these contributors believe in Orthodox Christianity, right? I don't think we're ever going to see a Mormon contributing on there, maybe, or a Jehovah Witness or Scientology or something like that, correct? Is that kind of the baseline is the core tenets of Orthodox Christianity, correct?
Yeah. So we call it post-denominationalism.
Okay.
And here's what we mean by post-denominationalism. We don't mean some kind of weird ecumenicalism that involves anybody who claims religious faith.
Yeah.
Right. We also don't mean kind of a Christian ecumenicalism that says, hey, anyone who kind of adheres to the name of Christ will take in. So this is not a Catholic platform. It's not an Orthodox platform. It is post-denominational. We mean Protestant, you know, kind of from the Reformation. What are the things that we've generally all agreed on?
Yeah.
And that's what we're choosing to unify. And
okay.
Certain people are going to step out of the box. So, of course, early on, we had a lot of conversations about, well, okay, what about baptism? right? Yeah, we have both,
right? Yeah, secondary issue.
Yeah, exactly.
Next.
Yeah, yeah, right? Then, okay, what about communion? Okay, well, we'll understand that, but are there some ways outside of our box to understand communion? Yes. Are we going to embrace those? No. You know, we're going to embrace the things that Orthodox evangelicals have kind of always embraced. Now, I will say this. Our church has been on this journey for like 5 years.
Yeah.
And because I grew up, I always kind of label myself as a quasi-charismatic, semi-reformed, megachurch trained guy.
you're all over the place.
And I can't put you in a box. What does that mean? I'm like, I don't know. I like Martin Lloyd-Jones. That's what it means. Right? And with that, as a church, we've been on this journey because most of our founding elders were more charismatic than I am. And but as a church, we've kind of been working together on how do we have these conversations? How do we discuss, not divide, over secondary issues? And I would say that during that, it has made us stronger, not weaker, discussing, not dividing. Now, sometimes I wish we were part of a denomination because it'd be really easy to just say, well, we believe this because that's what our confession says and, you know, no questions asked. But that's not our context. And so we've had to learn how to discuss, not divide, and grow as a result.
That's funny you say that, because even me being a member of a confessional Presbyterian church, also you can sometimes find that is the crutch that you use.
Yep.
Hey, we don't have to really get into this deep discussion and kind of figure things out and wrestle between brothers because our confession says it. They figured it out a long time ago.
Yep.
Which, okay, there's something to that. We want those guardrails on so we don't go off in the ditches. That's what confessions and creeds are for. But at the same time, it's sometimes, and I'm not saying at my church, I'm just saying I've seen in general confessional churches where it can just be, well, that's what we have and that's what it is. And that's the crutch to no longer look in and to actually explore theology, which just means to know God. We just want to know God deeply, know God rightly. You know, so I like that too, where you have this kind of vast contributing audience, cross-denominational, which you're calling it, you said post-denominational, right?
Yep.
The only time I've ever seen someone talk about post-denomination, it was this crazy guy, and he was kind of saying it how you said it isn't. Like, anyone who's deconstructing or ever had a, you know, capital C Christian, and that's post-denominational. So it's not that.
Yeah, it's not that. There are some.
We want to make that clear.
And we always tell people, we're not anti-denomination.
Right.
Be a part. Many of our guys are part of a denomination.
Sure.
Right. I always joke, Chase is a part of like seven. Right. So we're not anti-denomination.
Shout out to Chase. What's up, baby?
Right. Exactly. But what we are doing, again, we're uniting around core doctrine. We're discussing, not dividing, around the secondary issues and allowing people to learn through that. And I would say the people in our church who are, by and large, coming out of, I would say, mega church style churches.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons that I think post-denominationalism and clear truth then is so important right now, because the American evangelical church is theologically emaciated.
Yeah.
And the reason they are is because over the last 20 to 30 years, as the church as a whole shifted to the mega church model, we stripped down theology.
Yeah.
Right? And we replaced it with kind of the self-help, 5 points, all of that kind of stuff. Okay, it was good or helpful, I'll say, 20 years ago when you had all of these people coming out of theological or doctrinally heavy denominations.
Sure.
And the megachurch grew by the denominational people leaving, pre-trained now, and saying, oh, these 5-point sermons are really helpful and applicable, built off of my doctrine. Well, after 20 years of not being taught doctrine, you become emaciated again. Then what happens? The world blows up in 2020, and now the emaciated church just follows the world into woke land.
Yeah, it's crazy how it was a kind of a pendulum swing.
Yep.
So I'm 42, grew up in the 80s and 90s. I remember the Jerry Falwell, and as a homeschooler, we're part of Bill Gothard for a few years. Which was very...
You and Joel Berry both.
Yeah. Which it was crazy. You know, even my parents were like, this is a little too nuts for us after a couple of years, I think. And we exited out of that. But my point was very fundamentalist, very legalistic. And it seemed like the evangelical church was kind of going that way. And then the pendulum swung and they went, wait a minute, there's freedom in Christ. There is an emotional side to God. Emotions aren't bad. We do need to keep them in control and not trust them, as Jeremiah says. But at the same time, that pendulum swung, and then we had 20, you know, over here, legalistic, don't touch it, don't look at it, put your head in the sand, Jesus coming back, it's all rock music, it's bad, 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 and then over here, it was like, well, we don't really, you know, it's all feels and coffee houses, and, you know, just get the people into the building, and it's crazy how the older you get, you realize, like, Proverbs says a lot about moderation and everything.
Yep.
And that can even be moderation in how you pastor, how you shepherd, how a church is ran. Like, you kind of need a little bit of both of that, right? We need our doctrine and theology. We need to know what the do's and don'ts and what God calls us to. But at the same time, man, you can just kill the spirit of a person in a fundamentalist, legalistic church. Mm-hmm. Of the don't, you know, it's the Protestant version of a very strict kind of Catholicism works-based salvation. And it's so sad. It's like both are in moderation are very good. It kind of sounds like maybe this is the journey, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but the journey your church is on right now, to where you said they kind of came out of one thing, looking at another thing, but just trying to make it work alongside running this Clear Truth Media. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, so that is the journey that our church has been on. And I always say, what does a healthy post-denominational church look like? It looks like a church that is theologically sound, mm-hmm. because we care about doctrine. We care a lot about core doctrine. When we first planted, people would say, hey, are you non-denominational? And I would say, well, technically, yes. But if by that you mean that we don't care about doctrine or we're highly charismatic, then no.
Right.
We're not that. And we needed a word to help people describe what we were. So that's when we started using post-denominational, because we were noticing that we were multi-denominational in makeup. And by that, I mean people were coming from every denomination into our church. Right?
Sure.
But multi-denominational, people kind of felt like, oh, so I just stay my Methodist self. I'm like, well, not exactly.
Right.
So by post-denominational, we mean we do care about doctrine. We care very much about unifying and knowing core doctrine. And so we're not going to avoid theology like the non-denominational megachurch system of the last 20 to 30 years. In fact, we're going to go pretty deep into the core stuff and discuss not divide over the secondary stuff.
Yeah,
right? So a post-denominational church is going to be theologically sound, but it's also, and this is kind of my quasi-charismatic upbringing, it is going to be experientially rich in a way that is still biblically accurate. Our faith should be emotional, right? Yeah. We've been saved from the pit of hell, right?
Yeah,
we were adopted into the family of God. That is an emotional experience. I have friends who just adopted a kid. It was emotional.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be. It's legal, but it's also emotional, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So it should be that. But then this is probably my mega church element. We say, well, it should also be, to an extent, professionally excellent. In other words, we don't need to throw leadership. We don't need to throw good system. We don't need to throw all of that out. When I left the megachurch, I allowed myself to pendulum swing. Leadership's bad, and you know, I'm never going to look at an Excel document again and all of that kind of stuff. But we've layered some of that back in to realize, well, there was a reason they re-brought leadership back into the church 30 years ago.
Yeah.
There are things that you can learn. And sadly, more churches fail not because of bad doctrine, but because of bad leadership.
Yeah.
And so now we're trying to take all three. Another way of looking at it is kind of the shepherd, preacher, leader perspective on ministry, and say a healthy church needs all three of these things.
Yeah. No, I was in the same boat, to where it was like part of my, testimony is too, telling people, and they've heard it many times on this podcast, I was a closeted Calvinist for like 8 or 9 years, because I was like, I can't even.
Well, especially you weren't in the AG.
Growing up, it was non-denominational.
Okay, yeah.
Legalistic. Think mid-80s legalistic.
Yeah.
Jerry Falwell kind of built, right? But so spirit-filled, supposedly, but very, never saw evidence of that or anything like that. And then swung that to my early teens with a church here in Monroe that just bought in real heavily to Bethel. So we had like Bill Johnson and stuff coming out and prophesying over the leaders. So it was this weird thing of like 13 years old, I'm playing the piano, and my youth pastor tells me, hey, you can't play Keith Green. That's devil's music. It's got a drum beat.
Yep.
And then, you know, 5-8 years later, you're going, oh, there's supposed to be feathers and gold dust coming from the ceiling. So got this really weird thing of like all these traditions. And then ran from the Lord and shook my fist at him and thought I could do my own thing, and then graciously saved me when I was 24. So I said the sinner's prayer at 7 and got saved at 24, and then started going, let's just read the Bible, see what the Bible says. I've been taught all these different, right? And then really just went, whoa, maybe these doctrines of grace are insane. They're just all through the Bible, right? But I don't want to get into my testimony, but my point was, that journey of the traditions too is real tough. And then when I came to Christ the Word, where I'm at now, it's evangelical Presbyterian. We have a full worship band. It's like, it's, you go, in my upbringing from when I'm little, like, is this still okay?
Yeah, right.
It's just pounded into you. And I go, I'm a musician, man. You know how many times I've worshiped on the drums or the piano or led worship and went, and I knew my heart was glorifying Lord. It wasn't for any type of self-indulgence or anything. And you go, yeah, we have to have that in church. I went to a predominantly black church for the first 2 years when I came back from the Lord as a bivocational black preacher. He put me on the worship team. I was the drummer. I'll tell you what, you want to learn how I came out of a band that was signed to a major label. You get on a praise team and you're like, oh, these get, you know, they had to, you know, shape up really fast. And I just went, I just love the cultural way of how we praise. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, if you can't jump up and get excited for how the Lord has saved you, what are we doing?
Yep.
And we just, you know, flipping a page in a book and go, oh, I don't know. This old dead guy said you're not allowed to shout in a service. It's like, I don't want to sound sacrilegious by saying that, but at the same time, I'm understanding what you're saying, where there has to be a fullness and there should be a natural excitement and gratefulness and of what the Lord has done for us. And it kind of sounds like that's kind of what you're cultivating. I know we didn't come here to talk about your church, but we're still on it. But kind of what you're cultivating at Redemption Church. Is that kind of what it is?
Yeah, it absolutely is. And so there's going to be joy. But, you know, when you show up, you're going to love it. You're going to worship to the music. You're going to experience that. We're going to pick theologically rich songs, of course, right? But then, you know, there's going to be the preaching of the word because that's what it's about. And so then we're going to preach expositorially through the scriptures. And the idea, though, of post-denominationalism and clear truth came out of Redemption. So this is all part of the story. Okay. And then this is what led us into, you know, launching Clear Truth Media. And right now I look at Clear Truth Media, and part of it is just us naturally telling our story to a broader audience. But then inviting people into it. And so beginning to share the idea of, okay, we've learned how to unify around core doctrine here in the church. Can we do that as a broader evangelicalism? And that's when God started opening doors, doors like Joel and Megan and Jamie Bambrick and Foster and Chase and the rest of the contributors that you already looked in. And what we're doing now, you know, Clear Truth Media, why we exist is just to be a platform that people can still trust.
Yeah,
I know these people. I can trust them both doctrinally and culturally.
Yeah. And also get, like I said, get that wide range of kind of looking at things from different perspectives, but all through the worldview of being a Christian.
Yes.
Of having a biblical worldview, which I find, like I said, very interesting and refreshing. So it launched just by the time people hear this, it'll have been out maybe two weeks. And like I said, I saw it everywhere. What was that like? Like just seeing it, I mean, on headlines and on major news outlets and through Twitter and social media. You said, you know, to everyone else, you know, people say, oh, man, I can't believe that guy blew up overnight or this thing happened overnight. And to them, it's overnight. But to you, this is a five-year journey. Yeah. How was it seeing that launch just go very well? And people, man, I saw so many people that I would never have connected. And the only dots that connect them was Clear Truth Media. Mm-hmm. And I went, that's when I went, oh, this is something a little different. Mm. This is something special.
Yeah.
Because these three guys over here and these three guys over here that I know well, but they never talk, and I'm the guy connecting them. Now Clear Truth has connected all six of them in a weekend, and I went, we gotta talk about this. This is exciting. So how was that launch for you to see it being received so well by so many different people?
Yeah, I mean, it's God's grace, and it's 20 years in the making, right? 20 years of ministry, but also upbringing and God refining and then opening up doors. And so it's very easy to look at this. I was talking to one of our Clear Truth contributors and kind of a mentor of mine, Rob McCoy, who's also outside of the circle of a lot of these guys, and that's what's been fun. And I'm talking to Rob, and I was complaining about something, and Rob just said, dude, stop, you're an idiot. Just remember that none of this, all of this is, it's been his work already. And so just trust him to take it from here. And that's how I can look at this. And now watching the launch and seeing the people that have gotten involved, I mean, it's of course, it's exciting. You want to stop. You want to give God the glory due when you are experiencing fun things. Take it in. And, you know, for anyone listening to this who's in ministry or just we're all in ministry, you know, life throws its battles at you. And so when you get the wins, stop, celebrate, praise the Lord, and thank him for it. And so that's what a lot of the last week has been, but also seeing that I think that God is using some of these connections beyond us already. And so now my favorite thing is watching Clear Truth contributors get to know each other.
Yeah.
And now they're off and running and doing ministry that really has nothing to do with Clear Truth, but seeing that's part of the win of this. It's not just going to be the building of a platform, like who cares? It's going to be the ministry connections that begin to happen, and then, you know, God uses those in other outlets.
Yeah, so is it just articles right now? Is there going to be any other type of media, or kind of what's the game plan going forward?
Yeah, three things: articles, videos, and podcasts.
Okay.
And so there's a few podcasts on there, a few videos right now. But we launched mostly with articles because we wanted to set that as a kind of a primary tone.
Yeah.
And then begin to build the podcast and then sermons as well. We'll be posting sermons on there. And one of the reasons we wanted to do the, you know, particularly the podcast and the sermons is a lot of people right now struggle to find who should I be listening to. Like,
right.
Obviously,
Dead Man Walking podcast.
Dead Man Walking is your top. But Steve outside Whitrow, of that,
Clear Truth Media.
Yeah. If you need more than 45 minutes, of listen time a week, you know, who else do I go to?
Yeah.
And then also sermons. If I want to listen to good preaching, you never know, you're going to stumble across somebody you used to listen to 5 years ago, get halfway through the sermon and go, wait, I don't agree with this.
Yeah.
And so we want to create an outlet for people to find good content.
I always thought it'd be great to have like a Wikipedia, but it was just for preachers and it was just called
Preachopedia.
Preachopedia or whoisthisguy.com or something where you can just type in a name and it was like, yeah, he did this. Oh, but he said that, you know, not that, look, if someone says something that is biblical and it can be filled with the Spirit, and you can also make mistakes 2 years prior or after, right? We can't judge a pastor, a preacher, or a teacher by one thing they've said, but sometimes there's habitual things that you can see lead up to other errors, and you would like to be warned by that, especially if you're recommending to someone or something like that. But it's always, you know, you have so many now with social media. It was like, geez, even 20 years ago, I feel like you had like five guys that were alive and maybe five guys that you had recordings of who had just passed, you know, in the 60s or 70s. And you're like, you had those, and everyone else was just kind of, now it's like everyone has their own platform. They're putting out content. You go to my Instagram page and the Dead Man Walking thing, and it's like, pastor, clip, clip, clip. And I follow them and make sure I can kind of try to keep up. It's like, it's just too much.
It is.
You know, and you don't really know what they're preaching, what they stand for, what, you know. My worst fear is you send a clip to someone, oh, check this out, and the next thing they go into a deep dive, and you know, 2 years later they're in a some kind of mega church cult, you know, whatever it is.
Yep.
Not that I'm saying mega churches are cults, but I'm saying that kind of, you know,
sure,
go down that road. But yeah, so it's cool too, like you said. So they come to Clear Truth Media, they can trust who it is and who to listen to, or suggestions. Because I found that some of the guys that have been on the podcast, like a C.R. Wiley or a Tom Askell, off camera, say, who are we listening to? What should I look? And he'll give me some names. You go, I don't have heard of these guys. He goes, these are the best preachers you've never heard of.
Yep.
And you go, what? And then I go listen to sermons or read one of their books. And you go, oh my gosh, these are like the best kept secrets. Not everyone with a huge platform is necessarily giving you creating the best content. Does that make sense?
Nope. They're just good at creating platforms.
That's
and
true,
and part of Clear Truth is to do exactly that. It's the platform, guys, that no one's ever heard of, that you can look and say, here's how we know, or we know that you can trust this person. They've signed off on our doctrinal agreement, and they've signed off on our cultural application.
Hmm.
So, and those are, that's kind of the first process. People have asked me, well, how did you pick these people? How did, you know, that was step one. Do you agree with both of these things? Because what we saw over the last couple of years is people who would say, well, yeah, I agree with your doctrinal agreement. And then you start seeing some of the cultural application. You go, well, hold on. How does your agreement with that doctrinal agreement lead you to say,
right,
you need to confess your whiteness here, you know, or whatever other wrong application? And so we took it a step further and said, you know, we want to see how you're applying this doctrine through some particular spirit of the age cultural convictions.
So is that what that cultural document is?
Yes.
Can you explain it a little bit? Like what? Because I've heard of the first one.
Yep.
I don't know if I've heard of the second one, the cultural one that has to be signed. So what does that, explain it a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, so that's also in our, you know, it's on our website. And so anyone can go back and read it. But basically what we did is we took kind of the 7 or 8 most important topics of today from a cultural application.
Okay.
And we said, okay, we want to make sure that you agree with us on this too, because this is kind of the spirit of the age stuff that we see people going astray on. And so there's things on there on critical theory. There's things on there on race. There's things there on, you know, abortion, gay marriage, LGBTQIA stuff, and then a few other things. I think I got all the letters, right?
Who cares? That's what I say.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
So because we want people to know, if you follow these people, you're not just going to hear good teaching, you're also going to hear good application.
Right. Wow. So where are we going from here? Because we're going to wrap this up a little bit, and then I want to do a fresh 10 segment with you, which you didn't know that you were going to do it, but
sounds
hopefully
fun.
You stick around for it. So we got the launch. What does like the next year look like? You got a conference coming up?
We do, in March.
This March, and where's that being held at?
It'll be held in Monclova.
Monclova, so not too far from me. I think I will be attending. So what goes on at the conference for the Clear Truth Media Conferences? What is that kind of like?
So it's a lot of teaching, a lot of panels. And okay. so last year it was just very general kind of theme. We haven't themed this year's yet.
Okay.
But, you know, a lot of our Clear Truth contributors will be there.
Yeah.
So next year, though, what does it look like? It looks like continuing to create consistent content. One of the things that was really important for us with the Clear Truth platform, we wanted it to be a place where you could go and there would be something new every single day.
Okay.
And that's one of the kind of the barriers to entry in kind of stepping into this is that you need a wide collection of contributors to be able to produce that much fresh content.
Sure.
And so thankfully we do. You know, I think our list is 40 and growing, and we wanted there to be every day when you log on, there's going to be new 1 to 3 pieces of content, whether that's a video, you know, again, written, mostly written, but then also podcast as well. So continuing to build that out, we do have a subscription service right now, but continuing to kind of build out the content library. We want to be a place where people, similar to the Gospel Coalition a decade ago, where when you needed to, you know, search something, you went there and you typed it in and you saw all this great content. So building up a new fresh library of that kind of stuff as well. That's kind of the goal over the next year.
Very interesting. Do you have an app coming down the road or anything
like
that?
Yeah. So the app will be released probably sometime in August.
It's so crazy how easy it is to get to a website, turn it into an icon on your phone to create like an app. But if there's an app, I go for the app.
Yeah.
We've been so trained. It's just so nice to have that. But I do have to say, whoever's doing your back-end stuff, the website looks beautiful.
Thanks.
You know, when you click on some, I know this is probably 2% of people listening, they're like, why are you talking about this? But I like the look of something. Like if I'm scrolling through, it needs to just look appeasing, not too cluttered, organized correctly. It just feels like, okay, this is a place I want to be, meaning this site. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I will say, I don't know who did it, but whoever designed the website looks nice, and look forward to the app too, because it'll probably be done just as professionally. So, okay. So someone listening right now, they've never heard of Clear Truth Media. Now they have. What's your call to action to them? Hey, visit as often as you can. Take part in the videos, the podcasts, the articles. Is there anything they can do? Share with a friend. Like, what is their call to action for someone who goes, yeah, I want to get on board week 3 of Clear Truth Media. So 5 years from now, when they're running the world, I can say I was there.
No. Sure. Yeah. No. Well, and we would appreciate the support. One of the lines I often use is we're trying to take a battle axe to progressive Christianity.
Oh, I like that.
Because it needs to, right?
Yeah.
And that too. And we want to, you know, Machen wrote Christianity and Liberalism 100 years ago now. The story's still the same. You could have written it last week, right? And unfortunately, a lot of those platforms were the platforms that still exist and take off, and we need to take them down. That way we can retrain the pastorate and retrain the everyday believer to retake culture. And so, here's how they can help. Check it every day.
Yeah.
There's going to be something new there. Follow us on all the social platforms, Clear Truth Media, pretty simple. And, you know, $10 a month, you can subscribe. You're going to get premium content. You're going to get access to our monthly State of the Union with our contributors. And then you're just going to support the cause of taking a battle axe to progressive Christianity.
Yeah. And this is what I say too to people listening. Look at, you can spend $10 now on one drink at Starbucks. So this is what you do. Instead of your Starbucks, once a month, you take that $10 and you go, I'm going to support something that is new and fresh and godly and right. It's been worked on by a lot of people, has great contributors, and I'm going to throw it over to Clear Truth Media. And that's what you do. Throw it right on a card. You pay it off every month anyway. That $10 goes a long way. I don't want to sound like an infomercial, but sometimes it drives me nuts how we justify things as Christians. Well, this horrible pagan company, whatever it is, Target or whoever, whatever month it is, right? And then go spend all that money there. And then they stumble across a site like this and they go, I don't know, $10. And you go, what's $10 in Biden's America, baby? That's $1.
Couple eggs. Yeah. I mean, I had a friend.
$10, let's go.
I had a friend yesterday sign up and he goes, I wasn't going to sign up, but then I realized if I give Disney $10 a month, how can I honestly justify and sleep at night to not give you $10? And I was like, all right, well, you're not giving me the $10, but I appreciate it.
No, I hear you. No, we shifted some stuff and it wasn't just it was before the whole Disney fallout, but in my family, we shifted some stuff and went, okay, we're spending X amount on these streaming services and this and that. we should shift that to the streaming services that are supporting the kingdom of God. Yeah. You know, maybe some more, like we're a Canon Plus family. We'll probably be Clear Truth Media now. We'll, you know what I mean? There's different things where it's go, yeah, let's put it there, because you might go, oh, well, the quality, let's say, or the what we have access to, first of all, might not be as much as, let's say, a Disney. First of all, I would argue, how much good content is actually on Disney that you want your kids or you should be watching, right? Second of all, it's like, well, they kind of had a 100-year head start. Yep. So you got to put your money where your mouth is. Let's fund these guys. Mm-hmm. Let's fund you guys. Let's get the money, because we don't like talking about it, but money is how things get done, right?
Yep.
And we've got a really bad rap in the Christian community with churches and pastors asking for money, right? Prosperity gospel's gone through the roof. They've really hurt the actual laborers in the field that do need funds to do things, right? It's kind of like, even when I run as a county commissioner, I hate asking for money, but at the same time, hey, that's how I buy yard signs and send out mailers. And you know, that started in 2016. By this year, I was like, I need money.
Yeah,
you
just, right.
You get kind of jaded by it, but it is. But it's like, rightly handle it and all that. So all that to say, your $10, go subscribe, Clear Truth Media. I would say go do it, because it's a $10 well spent each month. All right, let's put bookends on that. Would you mind sticking around for a fresh 10 segment where we ask you 10 fresh, I say we, it's me. I used to have a co-host. I'm still saying we. He's not here. We ask you 10 fresh questions. They're just fun. They're light. They're rapid fire, but we get to know you a little bit more. You want to do it?
Sounds great. Let's do it.
All right. Let's go. 10 fresh questions. Yo, can we kick that one more time? Let's go. I'm fresh. Oh, it's 10 fresh questions with Steve Whitlow. Question number one. Let's get out the list here. This will be fun. What city and state did you grow up in, and how did that affect your childhood? We already kind of know that, but Toledo area, is that where you grew up?
I grew up in Toledo, Ohio. How did it affect my childhood?
Yeah, how did it? I mean, you a Midwest kid?
I love the fall.
Yeah, we do right? love the fall.
I love
Midwest.
Football.
Okay. You a Buckeye?
I am. I actually, listen, I grew up a Michigan fan. Okay. Then I went to Ohio State for a little bit, so I converted during my time. I feel like that's a fair reason to change.
Yeah, our whole family's U of M, and then my son, who's 10, is Ohio. And I went, and this was because he got into football at 7. He's now 10. No, it's 6. So 4 years ago, Ohio was probably the best team nationally. And then it's funny, as soon as he became a fan, Michigan beat him, 2 or 3 years in a row, which hadn't happened for the previous 20 years. And he's hoping.
It's been a bad run for him.
It's been a bad run for him, but this year I think he's going to make it back. What's your favorite funny story or joke to tell people? Do you got like a go-to joke, a dad joke, a funny story? Maybe you first meet someone or you guys are all sitting around talking. What's a funny joke or go-to story?
Wow. I don't know if I have a funny joke that I go to, but a story that I often tell is the time that we accidentally shot my friend with a BB gun across 100 yards and it got lodged in his head.
You have a BB gun that can go 100 yards? How many pumps did you pump that thing?
Okay, so we were in sixth grade, just to tell the story. We pumped it enough to kill a squirrel, and my buddy was running through the woods, and I said to him, my other friend, I said, hey, why don't you shoot him? And he just literally kind of threw the gun in that direction, pulled the trigger, and my friend fell to the ground. We thought he was joking. We ran over to him, and the BB was stuck right here. And
then
we used a bunch of sticks to pop it out.
That poor kid, sticks, even like a sharp knife or something.
So this was the last day of school in sixth grade. We did not tell a soul until our graduation year.
Oh my God, that's like a Johnny Cash song.
It was a great,
it was a great story. Wow. Top three bands or music albums that have influenced your life the most? Or you can just give us one if you can't give us three. A band or an album or something musically that went, that marked me for whatever reason, good or bad.
So I'm gonna show some bad cards here right now, because I'm not a big music guy.
Okay.
Okay, but when it does come to music, I probably hit the three that everyone's gonna be like, oh man. Okay, so obviously first, I like worship music.
Right.
Right. So there's certain songs I can go back to. But if I'm not going to use the worship music outlet, I was like that dude in high school that was listening to pop music.
Okay.
I have to admit it here in front of you and all of your
friends.
This
is forever on video and audio.
And I hate that. But okay, so I'm just going to tell the story this way. They're up here in Michigan, okay, a long, long time ago.
Okay.
I once dated somebody who lives up here. Okay. And so it's funny that now 25 years later, I'm driving up here and that song is running through my head.
No.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I mean, songs do a weird thing where it's just like connects to a memory. Can you say the song or no? Do you want to leave?
I mean, I'll...
Don't say it if you don't want to.
It was Hoobastank's The Reason. All right.
Yeah, Hoobastank was awesome back in the
Come
day.
Come on. Though. It was that one
for like
song.
A summer.
For that one summer. Right. That was everybody's song.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. High schools in, you know, early college years are always a little... You look back on it, you go, what was I thinking?
Yeah, they don't count.
Yeah. What Monopoly piece do you take?
The dog.
The dog. Yeah, that's
always.
Okay. What properties do you go for? Are you like a Baltic and Slumlord guy? You go for Boardwalk somewhere in the middle? You look like a tenant, like an orange or red.
Yeah, I try to take that. I guess that would be like the third row.
One, two. Yeah.
Yeah, the third. Yeah. Like the end of the second, end of the third row. I think that's always like you get your best return for investment on those.
You do actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. The oranges are the best return. If you could sit down for a cup of coffee with any historical figure outside of the Bible, all right, so we can't say Paul or Jesus, right, or Jesus or Paul, outside of the Bible, historical figure, who would it be and why? Get to have a cup of coffee with them for an hour.
I'm going to go with Martin Lloyd-Jones.
There you go. I like it. I had a feeling since that early mention. All right, what is a movie you've watched multiple times? And I used to ask this, what's your favorite movie? And people said, I can't pick a favorite. But when I started asking it, what's a movie you've watched multiple times? You go, oh. And that's usually your favorite movie. So
yeah.
You just put it in and watch it.
The Rock.
Oh, man. That's the Alcatraz one with Cage and Connery,
Cage,
right?
Sean Connery. I love that movie.
I haven't seen that in a while. That was a good flick.
Oh, it came out in 1997. I've watched that movie probably 1997 times.
Wow. Man, you just threw... Yeah, it took me back. All right, last question. What's a book outside of the Bible that everyone should read, pick up, take a look at least peruse through?
Wow.
This is going to be another Martin Lord.
Yeah, I mean, I could go that. I'll shift gears. I'll say this to anyone who does anything with leadership in any way whatsoever.
Okay.
You have to read the book Great by Choice.
What is it called?
Great by Choice.
Great by Choice.
Yeah, it was written by a guy named Jim Collins back in kind of like the height of like the leadership is everything era. And not all of those books last the test of time, but this one, for at least the last 25 years, I go back to it and I read that over and over. And from like an organizational perspective, I mean, it is kind of structured the way I think about things.
It's interesting. Read. I haven't heard of that one. You know, you always hear the, what was it,
Seven Habits of Highly Effective People.
All those things were all within like 5 years, and everyone was just putting them out. And I never really got into them, but I'll take a look at that one. All right, that's Fresh 10 with Steve Whitlow. Can we kick that one more time? Let's go. All right, as we wrap this up, give us the final word. What's on your mind? Tell the people where to go, what to do, where they can find you, all that good stuff.
Yeah, well, they can check everything out at cleartruthmedia.com. That's the hub, Clear Truth Media on social media. Here's what I'm most excited about right now. I think that God is bringing people together kind of across the doctrinal lines as we've talked to do because we're going to win again. And the only way to do that is us working together along those denominational lines.
Amen. Steve, thanks so much. You go by Steve or Steven?
I go by Steven.
Steven, I'm sorry. So no more Steve. Steven, thanks so much for being here, taking time out of your day. I know you're busy. You got a lot going on with the launch of Clear Truth Media, the church, the pastor, the whole thing. Appreciate you, brother.
Thanks for having me.
And I'm glad we made this connection.
Yeah, me too.
Guys, thanks so much for listening to another episode of Dead Men Walking Podcast. As always, you can find us at dmwpodcast.com, anywhere on social medias. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for supporting the show. Thanks for sending in your comments. We just had someone 2 weeks ago say, hey, get Timothy Brindle on and ask him these questions. And we got Timothy Brindle on and asked him those questions. So we love it when you guys are leaving us messages and giving us ideas for shows. Appreciate that a lot. As always, remember, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. God bless. Be sure to check us out at dmwpodcast.com where you can purchase the best and snarkiest merch on the internet, support the show, and leave us a review or message. Dead Men Walking can be found on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Dead Men Walking Podcast and on Twitter X at Real DMW Podcast. The Dead Men Walking Podcast is part of the Fight Laugh Feast Network. For exclusive show content, be sure to download the PubDV app and become a member. If you're a business that needs to reach hundreds of thousands of potential customers in your demographic, podcast advertising might be for you. Send all inquiries to deadmenwalkingpodcast@gmail.com.
None your biscuits.